Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study taught by Brother John Allball titled Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land. This is part one of two.
I walked all over the place. The title here, Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land, of course, is found on the Liberty Bell. They used it in the start of our country. And of course, in a couple of days, we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence, being free from England. I took a look at all the different dictionaries to see a good definition for liberty. I couldn't find a single one. One of the things that's happened in our country, especially the last 20, 30 years, if not longer, we'll come up with the definition of a word, and we take God out of it so it looks nice, and we sanitize it. And guys, God can't work with that. You're looking for all eternity, from here till however long eternity it is. What's God's definition for liberty? And we have it right here. The state of being free from the influence and damnation of sin through believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and living in His presence forever. That's the definition. Living in His presence because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And that is liberty. When you think of liberty, that's the liberty God wants to proclaim not only throughout our land, but throughout the entire world. That's the mission that He's given to us. It's fascinating. Now, I will tell you, as far as the notes I passed out, I was under a great attack from Satan during this whole time. I'm fighting about every day. There's even some days I became brain dead on this. I didn't even know what to think, so I just took a rest and did other things. So if you happen to read through here, which I know the majority of people probably don't read it or even study it, but I pass them out anyway, okay, you will find typos. This is the most typos I've ever had. When you see the word people, the second P is out. When you see the word verse, the word letter S is out. Okay? Not only was I even reviewing it, I noticed Psalm 199. God, there's only 150. So I had to make that correction. You'll see that in there. And then I'm reading along and the Holy Spirit kept saying, I think you got a mistake on what book this is in. So I took a look at it, and what do you know, it wasn't in 2 Peter, it was in Timothy. Said, but that was the Lord. I like using the Holy Spirit like a sonar. I wish I'd have been more awake and more alert, but I'm very fallible like anyone else. I struggle like anybody else. I have to go to the same God that you guys go to and pray and ask God forgiveness. I have to seek His face just like you. On preparing the sermon, you wouldn't believe the material I cut out. I could have had you here till midnight, okay? We got to cut down to 6 this afternoon. We're going to try to do it in 45 minutes, okay? So we're only going to skim the mountaintops. One of the things I pray with you guys is that you guys are smart, you're intelligent, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. So some of the stuff I'm just going to skim quickly over, and I'm going to have to trust the Holy Spirit of God is working in you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you can go to Him at any time, and He'll talk to you. While I was preparing this message, I had no problem putting this together as far as getting material and then trying to understand a good portion of it. But I want to tell you, there's other parts of my life I pray to the Lord, dead silence. Dead silence. And so I take a look at 1 Kings 17, and God said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, I'll feed you there. Well, what do you do when the water runs out? Food runs out. Had Elijah gone to anywhere else, he would have missed God's next plan for his life. He stayed there until the Holy Spirit of God came to him and said, okay, here's your next job. All right? That's where I'm at. When I have silence from the Lord, that means stay the course. Don't move. God said, I've got it all in hand. I'm working out a plan. Trust me, I can make it work out for you. If I make it work out, I've blown the entire thing totally. What we're trying to do in our chalk picture here is give you the 5 points in chalk picture form. All right? The first point about liberty. Liberty is where faith is a faith that frees from sin. And that's the cross. There's 3 times God says, I'll meet with you. If you're a sinner, He'll meet with you at the cross. If you're saved, you're like Paul, you say, I die daily. Every day, come to the cross. Lord, I die to myself. It's not up to me. One time I was in Louisville at Victory Baptist Church, and the pastor there was trying to explain the two natures, the old sin nature as well as the spirit nature. Now, in times past, they would explain it as the white dog and the black dog. All right? Well, they went ahead, because of racial tensions, they changed the black dog to the red dog. Okay? Just so you know how it works out. And he says, it depends on which dog you feed the most, the white dog or the red dog. Well, I'm here to tell you today, the red dog's not even alive. It's been crucified at the cross. We don't feed the red dog, we kill it. It's killed at the cross. We are crucified with Christ. When you take a look at the drawings here, I've got a little main key written down on the side here. And if you get this key right here in the next minute or two, you've got the whole thing. First thing is, with the cross there, Romans 6x says that we are crucified with them. We are crucified with them. He's not there by himself on the cross. We are there with them, crucified with them. We go up to the next stage, which is next point on the back, forgiveness that removes condemnation. If he hadn't risen again from the dead, there would have been zero forgiveness for any sins. And the forgiveness what? Removes all condemnation. It's all gone. So we look at our second key in Colossians 2:12. It says we are risen with them. With Christ, we are risen together with them. Now we come to the top of the hill. And that'll be our third point today, fellowship. Fellowship with God forever. If you're saved today, that's where you ought to be. That's where I should be. I like what Spurgeon said, the best place for our heart is at the feet of Jesus. Best plate whatsoever. And so, when you take a look at the main key, number three, live. Live with Him. And that's in Romans 6:8. We live with Him. We don't live the Christian life by ourselves. When we do that, it's called good works. And God says, I don't honor good works. Zero. If you guys want to have some fun, look at the word good. That one guy came up to Christ and you called him good master. And Christ said, well, there's none good. Except God. He was telling the guy, you're talking to God. There's none good. You got Romans 3, there's none good. None that doeth good. When you go to Romans 2:4, the goodness, and notice that's of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So if we're going to deal with good works at all on any subject of good works, what's the good works God wants us to do? Lead people to repentance. So they can receive Christ as personal Savior. That's what goodness all has to deal with. When we come down to our first point is fulfillment of the gospel. We have a picture here of the Word of God. The Authorized King James Bible stands as a beacon light at the edge of eternity. And those that will come to that light will be rescued from all damnation. They'll be rescued from all sin. And they'll have Christ with them. And our key here, Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. And then we have the last one, number five, friendship for the lost. Okay? As we go back to the three crosses right there, before United got saved, we were enemies. We were God's enemies. And what did He do? He died for us. Amen. Now, you know what my enemies do for me? They want me crucified. They don't want to be crucified. They want me crucified instead. When we make the rounds back from the fulfillment of the gospel, we come back and we're to be friends. Love your enemies. Love them. How do we love them? With the cross. With the cross. It's invincible. I have a book by Stephen Lilly, who's up in the heaven with the Lord. He wrote a book called Energize to Evangelize. All right? Dynamite book. I liked it so much, I made an outline of every single chapter in the book, and I got his permission, I printed them up and sent them to over 50 different people. All right? The real action of trying to see people come to know Christ is not you and I pleading with them. We get cold feet. The real work of seeing people come to know Christ as Savior is us pleading with God. It's got to be His Spirit, His work, His blood. It has to be His Spirit doing the work. You and I were... We have to be His servants and trust Him for doing the work. And so, the last point is we seek lost souls with Him. And he's already out in the field looking around. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so you got a complete circle of what the message is. But the whole key for it is with him. With him. And if you're trying to live the Christian life without him, by pushing him out on the side there, you're going to be a wreck like the other 80 to 90% of the Christians in America. If the stats are anywhere close, they're so far off the mark because they're living in sin and they're covering it up with good works. And the good works will never, never, ever cover up sin. I have to share this with you since we're dealing Labor Day. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Get this, Calvinist? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And for those that like to play around with Greek or Hebrew, I rarely spend that much time with it, but if you spend time with it, don't correct what you read in English, because you've now destroyed it. Okay? Well, the word power here is the same word we get the word dynamite. We are sitting here with dynamite. And one of the things that Steve Lilly wrote in his book, the communists know that the gospel is fantastic. They can't stop the gospel. But here's the difference between the gospel and communism. And in case you hadn't noticed, we had communists running for our high office this past time frame. They should have been kicked out of the country. They have no place in our country. All right? Here's what the communists said. The communists said, the reason we're going to win the battle is because we're dedicated to the cause. We'll give up every nickel, every dime, we'll work every holiday, we'll do everything that's possible to get communism out there. You Christians won't sacrifice nothing to get your gospel out to the lost. It's commitment. When we become as committed as we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see a difference. We're the ones with the dynamite. We're the ones with the dynamo. And God is just looking. He says, by one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Well, we have a whole room full here. What if everyone here was to catch on fire for the Lord? No telling what God could do when we commit ourselves to him. Now, the reason I shared this one with you is because I had the privilege of being in Awanas for 20, 21 years or longer. I forget the number now. It's over 20 somewhere. And I had a chance to deal with this 8-year-old. And this is one of his verses in Awanas. And so he started quoting it to me. And even though he didn't get it right, he got it right. I'm going to show you what he did, because I thought this was hilarious. Let's see which way we go. We go forward? Yep, go forward. Here's how he quoted it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation with liberty and justice for all. I couldn't argue with him. Yes, we cracked it in. You got it. We got the verse straightened out later on, okay? I mean, what out of the mouth of babes. All right. Let's see if we can start rolling here pretty. Okay, here we go. Liberty is faith that frees from sin. This is the key verse. We're going to just hit the skim verses. You already have the notes if you want to go deep. And you wouldn't believe how many scripture verses I couldn't even put down. It's a deep study. And if God's, not if, but when God speaks to your heart today, he's going to give you other scripture verses I didn't put in here. It's just too overwhelming. All right. This is one of my favorite verses. Verse 14 of Corinthians chapter 2. Now, thanks be unto God, which always, get this? I don't know what you're struggling with. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Triumph. Being victorious. And make it the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That's another encapsulated version of the gospel itself. First of all, we want to find out that the victory is present tense. Now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Now. He'll make you triumphant in Christ. I don't know what you're going through today. But right now, he wants to make you triumphant in it, to have victory over it. Second thing, we will always triumph over sin because of Christ's shed blood. when He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. All our sins were future. We didn't have any past sins at that point. We hadn't even been born yet. All our sins were under the blood. Every single one. If you're trusting Christ this morning, there's not a single sin that's not under the blood. We can have victory in any and every area through Christ, with Him. And this is another quote by Spurgeon that I like. Let me get his name in here, okay? Faith is the greatest sin killer this side of heaven. We're not to live by works, guys. We live by faith in Him. And faith in Him quenches any and every single sin that there ever could be. And it's just a matter of being focused on Him. And He's the author of faith, and we'll get into that. Another great promise here. Whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes. Victorious. And this is another great verse here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We take a look in at the diagram there. For all that in the world, the lust of the flesh. First hill, the cross. The old man, the flesh nature, is crucified, nailed. All that's in the world, three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. First one, nailed. Now we come to the next one. Lust of the eyes. Now we come to the second hill. Forgiveness. Every single sin has been forgiven. The lust of the eyes, why? Because we see Christ resurrected from the dead. We're covered. And now we have the top of the hill. Fellowship with the Lord. Right? That's humility. To fellowship with the Lord, you're going to have to be humble. Grace of God is only given to those that are humble. All right? That takes care of the pride of life. You don't come waltzing into God's throne room proud like Satan does. You get knocked over.
Amen.
All right? So all three of those. If you guys want to have more fun, first three fruit of the Spirit. First hill, love. For God so loved the world. Second one, all the sins are forgiven. Joy. When there's a sin forgiven, you got joy. And now you're fellowshipping with the Lord. I think Isaiah 26, your mind is kept in peace because you're now meditating on Him. You're now fellowshipping with Him tremendously. What has some more fun with this diagram over here? First hill, most of all guilt is connected with the flesh nature. How about that? Come to the cross, goodbye guilt. Next one, forgiveness. What does that cover? The first thing our spirits can't handle is guilt. The second one you can't handle is bitterness. And there's the key to overcoming bitterness is forgiveness. Knocks it out as having a forgiving heart. A friend of mine who was preaching a couple years ago preached on forgiveness. And while he was preaching on forgiveness to all the people out there, a cold wind swept through the audience. You know what that tells me? You know what that told him? A lot of unforgiveness out in the crowd. A lot of unforgiveness. And you know what? If you don't have a forgiving heart, how in the world are you going to have a real genuine fellowship with the Lord who's forgiven you of all your sins? There's a neat till going up there. All right. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He's overcome the whole works of it. There's nothing you and I can have not triumph in except through Him. And then, how does He do it? All right. Remembering His relationship with God the Father, His Son. I honor my Father. And remember we were talking about in the key, with Him. Christ identified with God the Father. And there's a whole neat study when you see that He didn't do anything that God the Father, that He didn't see Him do or talk to Him about. And I had Pastor Bernie for 10 years. And we were under 10 years of pretty sound doctrine. All right? And he's on the radio right now, and he always likes to end his broadcast, remember whose you are.
Amen.
Identity. If you're going to be conquering, and you want to conquer all the different sins in there, you have to remember, you can't conquer it by yourself. In fact, I added the verse at the top of the key. John 15:5. Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. All right? Without me, you can do nothing. You can't even repent without Him. Everything is with Him. And we have to take on the identity. There's a new crazy thing going around talking to us about being slaves before the Lord. And if you believe in the doctrine of being slaves, you have the wrong Bible, and you're in the wrong place. That's the most damnable doctrine ever. In the Authorized King James, the word slave appears one time, and it's in Jeremiah 2:14, and that's the only time in the whole Scripture. And it's italicized, which means it's not even in the Hebrew. All right? But the translator saw something, and that's why they had it in there. And they let you know that it was not in the originals. The new Bibles are all phony because they won't let you know what they added or what they subtracted. They're liars. All right? The word slaves is only in there one time. And as I believe it's connected with Revelation 18, and it's connected with Rome. Fascinating. Their job is to make everybody a slave to Roman Catholicism. Guys, and there's so many other things that they're involved in. We just don't have time to get into it. But those are the two things. And we have to remember. Remember whose you are. Let's see. Okay. Christ also had obedience to the Father. Great verse. I must be about my Father's business. If you're saved at all today and you know the Lord, then you're going to hear the Holy Spirit keep talking in you and talking in you. I must be about my Father's business. The time is short. He's got a calling on every single one of your lives. He has a purpose for your life. He has a ministry that only you and nobody else can do.
Amen.
All right? You don't wait on the church to have a ministry. You don't wait on somebody else to give you ministry. There's a real famous doctor up in Michigan. The Holy Spirit of God called him to be a missionary to a foreign country. And what'd he do? He didn't want to go. So he paid somebody else to go. He paid someone else to do the work that he was called to do. Now, at the end of his life, he regretted having not gone. Now, you guys, I would even hate to tell you this, but when that guy, I don't know if he's up in heaven now, he's got no rewards. He's going to stand before the Lord and say, well, I paid this guy to do it. Or it says, show me the book where I told you to pay someone to do your work. Show me where I called someone else. I called you to do the work. When you and I stand before Him, we can't stand before Him and say, well, you know, MacArthur said, you know, what my pastor said. Your pastor's not going to be there. It's going to be you and him. He's going to say, what did I tell you? Are you listening? What did I tell you to do? That's what we have to have an account for. And I shared this with Pastor Miller. Every one of us is hoping to hear that sound. Good and faithful servant. Well, look where everyone, I've seen so many masters, or as far as preachers preach on, faithful servant. Because that's what they want in the church, faithful servants. Okay? I even heard on the radio, I almost had a car wreck on WRFD when they said, a good and faithful slave. I about had me a car wreck, okay? I really had to get some composure. The first word they leave out is the word good. There's none good. What's good connected with? Repentance. How can you be a faithful servant if you haven't repented yet? There's got to be a repentance. He's calling you. That one doctor can't repent. It's too late. Work's already done. And he doesn't get the reward for it. You're going to have a lot of people say, well, I put money in the offering plate. God said, did I tell you to put money in the offering plate? A lot of people are putting money in the offering plate hoping that's going to atone for their sins. That's why sometimes in Christianity, large churches are lucrative because people are living in guilt and they're throwing their money in the offering plate to hope, see, I'm still a good person. I gave 20%. I gave X amount of percentage. It just doesn't work. We're going to have to move here pretty, let's see, where are we at here? Okay, through the Word of God. Now, you guys are already familiar with these three verses here. The three temptations that Christ faced,
of the flesh, of the eyes, of the life. It shows you where they're at located in Matthew 1-11, and also in Luke 4-13. Notice what Christ did every time it came up. Christ quoted a scripture verse. He could have said anything that would have been scripture verse. But he's trying to teach us the way you overcome it is by quoting scripture verse at the devil. Quoting scripture verse at the temptations that are on the inside for lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, and this is just a side note. On my website, I've got 5 or 6 revival messages that I had a chance to preach at my dad's town in Bel Air, Ohio. It's on the parable of the sower. And after doing a lot of study, I started noticing different things in Scripture, so we tied it up together. And I found out that Christ was aiming the parable of the sower at 3 groups. Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. And I noticed each of their lives, they had something peculiar about their lives. That one group was connected to lust of the flesh, one group was connected to the pride of life, and the other group was connected to the lust of the eyes. And so if you'd like to check out those are the most dynamite lessons that you'll ever come across. They're super. But Christ was aiming at those guys, and he did it through a parabolic form. And said, look here, this is what's really happening in your lives. And the interesting part about that is, in any life, sin is not pick and choose what you want to do. Sin is connected to series. If you get by with this sin, you're going to advance to this sin. And then to this one, and this one, it goes right up the scale. And the lust nature never stops. And you keep on going until either you run into the cross, or until you commit some form of suicide. Alright, there's 4 types of suicide. One deals with drugs, one deals with immorality, another one deals with philosophy, and then you have the permanent kind. Alright, why? Because it deals with sin that's unchecked, and it runs right up the scale.
Yeah, and this is victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
All right. I like this quotation by Billy Sunday. I've got it in a book from 1915 that he wrote. You've got to sign your own Declaration of Independence before you can celebrate your 4th of July victory.
Amen.
It's got to be in your heart. You know, they're praying for revival in America today. They're not willing to sign the Declaration of Independence from sin. That's what's wrong with the country, guys. They wouldn't have this, as far as the status quo. They would appear to look like a Christian and still live in sin at the same time. It's not going to happen. One of the things I noticed with the Southern Baptist Convention, and guys, I really appreciate all the work they've done down through the years, looking at the good side, okay, trying to be positive, but I noticed that they came out with their own Bible. And 1996, I think, out they came out with the Holman Standard Translation. Okay? I'm trying to remember what manuscript it was, but it's not the manuscript that they started with. They changed God's Word. They changed the manuscript. And when they did that, look at all the statistics on their organization from 1996 coming up to now. Every single stat is dropping. Why? Because God does not recognize the book that they call the Word of God. Did not recognize it. He didn't write it. It's not part. And here in America, we keep changing the Word of God, and when we change it, we get further and further into the dark ages. Okay. You guys already know this out of Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Get a lamb, and then you get the lamb, and now you have to make it your lamb. When you make it your lamb, that's where the victory comes in. Everyone can talk about a lamb, you know, salvation, the lamb, oh yeah. Is he your lamb? And if he's your lamb, there's going to be a different in your walk, a different in your talk. And in fast days, what I get criticized the most of is talking about the Lord. All right? Or passing out tracts. I don't understand it. And when I see these same people up in heaven, I don't want to talk to them. They can stay on their side of heaven if they like. I'm sorry. We're going to have 1,000 years. You guys may not even think about it. Eternity. When did eternity start?